Hey, everybody, it's Kai Rizdahl. Thanks for downloading the Corner Office podcast. On this episode, I'm talking to Jeannie Buss. She is the CEO and the co-owner of the Los Angeles Lakers, and she takes us inside the Lakers training facility. Also, by the way, the headquarters of this entertainment empire, entertainment being a key word there. Because more than just a basketball team, the Lakers are a global brand worth more than $3 billion, one of the great teams in NBA history, although not recently, but more on that in a minute. And for nearly 40 years, the Lakers have been a Buss family business. A month or so ago, when the Lakers were down 0-3 in their first season with superstar LeBron James on the team, we went across town to El Segundo, California, pulled up in front of a brand new building, warehousey looking kind of, made our way inside and waited for Jeannie Buss to come show us around.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Good morning. It's nice to have you here.
It's cool to be here, honestly.
This is the UCLA Health Training Center, the Lakers training facility. Mm-hmm. We moved here just over a year ago. We had outgrown our other training facility, which is just a couple blocks away, yeah. And our entire revenue-generating arm was in a building across a parking lot, so we were a very divided company.
So this was, as we sit here overlooking basketball courts, and I mean, there's like three basketball courts out there, whatever it is.
Yes. This
was a strategic investment for the company.
It was. Back in 2012, we had a player by the name of Dwight Howard that played on the Lakers. And we were at our old facility. He came up to my office and he said, "Can I ask you something?" And I said, "Sure." And he goes, "Where are all the people that work here?"
Wow.
And it was then I realized how, even if you're a superstar, an all-star, you know, you still want to know who's on your side, you know, who's got your back, who do I belong to? Like, where do I fit in this group? That resonated with me that it was important for them to know how we operate behind the scenes.
But also for you running the business side of the house, you are now closer to the basketball ops, the product, as it were.
Yes, yes. Right. The architects that we ended up choosing talked about how architecture could change culture in an organization. And that was, you know, exactly what we were looking to do. And so this building is a walkable building. There's no barriers that you can make a full circle without having to divert through anything or being stopped and backtrack.
Right. So let's go. We'll follow you. So I'm serious. We're going to walk and talk. So
okay. Right. So follow me.
Will do.
This way. And as you notice, we have, I think, six or seven conference rooms. Yeah. This one is called 2010. You can see the address on the front there.
For the last championship season,
yes,
right?
Yes. Okay. So each.
So when's the next championship season conference room? That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'd like to know. That's the million-dollar question. Now we're walking down the outer hallway, which, you know, is an executive area with our president of business operations here, our chief financial officer here.
God, you forget basketball teams have CFOs, right? I mean, right?
Yes, it's very important.
They've got a coach, they've got a general manager, but they need a CFO too.
Revenue generating and revenue spending is very important to us here.
Yeah.
This is our accounting department.
Hi, guys. When the Lakers are in town, is it busier around here? I mean, granted, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, but...
Yes, when the Lakers are here, this would be when they would normally practice. But the team is in Phoenix looking for... hopefully our first win of the season tonight.
It's early yet. Come on, you got plenty of time.
That's
75 games left.
Thank you. Keep me positive.
There you go.
Oh, right here is our G League coaching staff as they get ready for practice.
G League is the development
league,
right?
The South Bay Lakers is our team that we use to develop our draft picks, you know, bring in free agents that weren't drafted. Yeah. I'll take you in here to the war room. Good morning.
Oh, yeah.
This is like where the draft is held.
Oh, and, you know, so we should say there are 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 4 or 5 like 90-inch television screens,
yes.
All of which are showing basketball or ESPN.
Of course.
And you can hear the basketballs too.
Yes.
Because that's a G League practice.
The way that the building is designed is the basketball courts are at the center of the building. And when you hear the basketballs, it's kind of like the heartbeat of the building.
Oh, that's great.
And so now we're walking as if...
Oh, so there you go.
you know, we are one of the players. Right.
So there's weight rooms and training rooms.
Right.
Courts are over there.
The beautiful weight room.
Yeah, no joke.
And, you know, I'm going to point out to you behind us here is the training room where guys get treatments when they're injured. And this was an important part of the design because, as you can see, it's glass. So by having the glass and the transparency, they don't ever feel like they're really out, like that they still are a part of practice even though they can't practice.
Yeah. So this is a big boomy space to start asking questions, but I'm going to because it's like this is the heart of the place, right? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is a good time to own and run a basketball team.
Yes, the NBA, I think of all the leagues, especially in the last 10 years, the value of the assets, the franchises has skyrocketed. But really, you know, we are a media company. We have consistent cash flows because we're selling tickets every year.
Yeah.
One investor runs a hedge fund. He said, "Jeannie, NBA teams are a good place to park your money."
Wow.
And when you think about it,
if one had that kind of money.
Right, yes. But I mean, it's about, you know, when you're investing, it's not going to go to zero.
Right.
Like these franchises will never be worthless.
So what keeps you up at night then, right? What's your worst nightmare?
The thing that keeps me up right now is that the greatest player in the NBA, LeBron James, decided to come join us and be part of what we're building. And, you know, I wanted the team to be successful for the fans because we have such great fans who have been through really such a downward swing with us.
And
for the
unusual
last few,
for the team, we should say, right? I mean, this has been a historically successful franchise.
Yes, when Dr. Buss ran the team.
Your father.
My father.
Do you not call him dad? Or do you just...
you know, when in business, I always call him Dr.
Buss. Fair enough,
Buss,
go ahead.
You know,
sorry to interrupt.
He ran the team for over 35 years. He only missed the playoffs twice. And we've missed now, since he's passed away, the playoffs every year for 5 years. So this is not what the brand was meant to be. But I think in terms of our television ratings, in terms of our, you know, relevancy in the NBA, having the best player has brought us back. It's elevated the brand. I just, you know, Laker fans have been... They believe in what Magic Johnson's doing with our basketball operations. And, you know, now we just need to do that on the court.
I don't necessarily expect you to answer this question, but I kind of have to ask. Have you and LeBron and Luke Walton, your coach, and Magic Johnson, the director of basketball, and you know, Kobe and the other basketball greats, have you guys had the conversation among yourselves about, look, this season we're going to be rebuilding?
Yes. I mean, Magic definitely has a plan as to what we're doing. You know, when Magic came in and took over basketball operations in 2016, what I felt was, and why I had to make the change from our existing general manager and my brother, Jim, who oversaw basketball, was that there was no identity of Laker basketball.
Which is really interesting because Laker basketball is like a brand name.
Exactly. And you can't establish anything when you're changing coaches every 18 months. So we'd had three coaches in 3 years, you know, and each one a great coach in himself, but you can't change a roster overnight. And so everything was not matched up right, and we were struggling and with no identity.
So this goes to something we see on Marketplace all the time, right? You were in uncertainty, and not only does regular business hate uncertainty, so too does the sports business and sports teams and the woman running this sports team, right? Uncertainty was killing you.
It was killing the brand. And it was, you know, when my father passed away, then Commissioner David Stern called me, and he said, "Jeannie, don't let the team fail. Like, don't run it into the ground."
Did he really say that?
Oh yeah.
Oh my
you
God.
Know, it would break your dad's heart. And so, you know, and it was difficult because I wasn't in charge of basketball. My brother was.
Right.
And I asked him, "How long is it going to take you to get the team on track?" And he gave himself a timeline, which you know, as time went on, I realized it wasn't going to happen, and that's why I had to make the change that I did. But I, you know, I took that to heart, and I wouldn't let this. You know, my dad had six kids. Yeah. I think the Lakers were his favorite kid, really, when people ask me.
a word here about your family, right? I mean, Dr. Buss, your dad, Jimmy, your brother, who you worked with and then had to replace. You talk a lot. You talked about it in your book. Mm-hmm. You've talked about it in interviews, about how this is a family business. Mm-hmm. So those first couple of years, when the commissioner of the league calls you and says, don't blow it with the family business, and then you have to fire your brother, mm-hmm. what's that like?
It was very, very difficult. You know, my dad kind of set it up for us and what he wanted to see happen. But ultimately, he gave me the authority and mm-hmm. the power to make any changes that I saw necessary. So I allowed things to go on for a few years. And when I realized it wasn't going to go the right way, I had to assert my authority, which was a very difficult thing for me, people who know me. And one of the key components of that decision-making process was a conversation I had with Kobe Bryant a few months before. And Kobe has always, I've been close to Kobe, you know, over 20 years. And he is, you know, he was always a star on our team, but he's really become a confidant and a true friend. And what he said, and he never mentioned any players' names. He said, what a player, an all-star player who's, you know, a free agent, yeah. is going to look at an organization and how it operates and making sure that there's somebody in charge who has authority to accomplish what the goals are. Meaning you've got to get the organization in the right position before anybody will consider investing his career in what you're doing. You have to have the right message. Right now, nobody knows what you guys stand for.
So here comes the poke in the eye question about making the change from prior management and your brother. You said you waited a number of years. Did you wait too long?
That was like my first comment publicly was, I apologize to Laker fans because perhaps I did wait too long. Hmm. I appreciated their patience.
Right. A word here about your father, Dr. Buss. Owned this team for 30-something years. Is it fair to say that he sort of helped make the NBA not just a sport but entertainment, right? I mean, you describe this company as a media company, for crying out loud.
Yes. I mean, you know, everybody knows what the nickname of the Lakers in the 80s was, Showtime. My dad loved events and going places, and I mean, he loved life so much. He would go to this place called Shay J in San Monica, and he said that the excitement when you're about to see a show and the lights go down and they say it's showtime and the curtain goes up, that was what he wanted to capture with the Lakers. So if you notice, our lighting scheme at Staples Center is much more like a show, a Broadway show or a boxing match, where all the light is on the players, on the product, on the show. As you can hear the music
starting.
Going.
That's great.
It's funny because we actually have a DJ now on staff.
No.
Because, yeah, it's like these young players, they're used to multitasking. They're used to having music while they're doing whatever. Let me show you.
Yeah, lead us out of here, and then we'll get out of your hair.
This is the players' lounge.
Oh, yeah, the hustle board.
They like to, you know.
Look at that. That's so funny. Yeah. Even the pros have, you guys did good, you guys did not necessarily do so good.
Yes.
Blocks, steals, deflections, charges, loose balls.
This is very important to our coach, Luke Walton, the culture.
Hart, Ingram, James, there he is.
It's all about competing.
Not the leader, by the way. LeBron James is not the leader on this board, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but he is the leader. He's amazing.
Oh, we got a pool table. We got giant TVs again. A barber's chair. Got to get a haircut. Look at that. Purple felt, of course, on the pool table.
Yes. So, you know,
so they come and they get a spread and they eat. It's nice.
Yeah. It was important that we had a large table so they could always eat together. A lot of influences here, not only of Dr. Buss, but also Phil Jackson, who, you know, I was engaged to for several years. And
more to the point, used to coach the team.
Coach the team. But, you know, I remember one argument he and I had because he made the players come in on Thanksgiving Day for a practice. And I said, why won't you give them the day off? It's Thanksgiving. Yeah. They travel so much. And he said, Jeannie, he said, they'll have plenty of time to go home and be with their families. But what they need to realize is this is their family too.
Yeah.
And we need to get together on a holiday.
And this is a big giant family table with, you know, spot for 11 or 12 large human beings to sit and get together.
And so his inspiration about treating a player as a whole person, mm-hmm. that yes, you're with them when they're playing basketball, when they're training, mm-hmm. but they have lives and they have families, and, you know, to make sure that you stay connected, mm-hmm. and know the whole person.
That makes sense.
I can take you in our video room.
Oh, look at that.
It looks like a ride at Disneyland.
It totally does, with a bunch of chairs and, you know, captain's chairs,
right?
Dozen or two.
So this is where they watch and break
Game
down
films.
The film.
Yeah,
we can go this way.
Okay. It's good. You know your way around. I was about to go the wrong way.
I'm just. Uh oh.
So what's the significance of the Golden Door?
It's a golden door.
It's you moron.
That's where the, you know, the magic happens, right?
Got it.
And
that's
so
awesome.
This
and
is
our the parking lot.
Entryway. And now I'll take you guys
Excellent.
To my
Back upstairs.
Office.
This is going to sound like a stupid question, but it's real. What do you do every day?
You know, it's always different. It's funny because we have maybe, you know, 125 full-time employees. So we're a small company.
I was just going to say, that doesn't sound like very many for the impact.
And that doesn't include the players.
Okay,
but,
well, that's fine. So it's 150, whatever.
Right. And so but we're a worldwide brand.
Right.
You know, so.
Ooh, with championship rings on a carousel.
This is our collection
of look at that.
Championship rings.
Nice.
These are my dad's rings.
Well, there you go. Look at that. It says bus.
Okay, this is my office.
Aha. Uh-huh. One,
and,
two, three,
I mean,
three.
Actually, this is the trophy room. I just happen
just
to
happen
have
to
my
office.
Desk in here. And so...
I will never again be this close to an NBA championship trophy. Let me just tell you that. That's cool. 87, 88, 2000,
The reason, you know, it was important, you know, the trophies were displayed so that the players could see them. This is the inspiration.
Right, and we overlook the court, and if they look up here, they will see these trophies hanging around.
Now, here's a great feature... Well, for me, is that
quick exit? What? Oh, look at that! You can come watch practice.
We have the balcony to watch practice.
This is nice, right?
Yeah,
come out here, just kind of watch, do some paperwork.
Yep, that's the war room.
Oh,
so,
sure. That we were in the conference.
Right.
Room. Right. Okay.
So
oh,
I have this kind of, you know, back way to get into. The basketball operations.
This is a really good snapshot of you being able to run the empire, right? From your office to the courts to the war room, right?
Right. And, you know, again, going back to players wanting to know who's standing with them, who's behind them.
Totally.
You know, so it's
totally.
We're all together in this.
That's awesome. That is great. Listen, I want to get out of your hair. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You're a very generous
That was my conversation with Jeannie Buss, the CEO and the co-owner of the Los Angeles Lakers. Since we talked, by the way, the Lakers have started winning games. They are slowly but surely working their way up the standings in the NBA's Western Conference. To hear more conversations like this one, you can subscribe to the Corner Office Podcast wherever you listen. And while you are there, leave us a review, would you? It really helps. And thanks for listening. The Corner Office Podcast is produced by Bridget Bodner and Daisy Palacios. This episode, though, by Maria Hollenhorst. Marketplace is produced by Nancy Fargali. Sitar Nieves is the executive director of On Demand. Deborah Clark is the senior vice president and general manager. I'm Kai Rizdal. Another episode for you in a couple of weeks.